There's a new Northwestern study out that links negative video game ratings to out-of-control behavior. And Julian, welcome to the show. I have to tell you, I've been checking in with all the gamers on the show, and that would be Drew, who produces, Colin, who produces, and Kevin Wells, who does news and sports here at WGN. I was always the parent that said, enough! Put the game down! Let's get outside! So tell me what prompted you to do this research?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me. So I'm actually a gamer myself. These days it's mostly mobile games I play and sometimes on Steam. And I do a lot of research with gaming companies on how to make games more engaging, more fun for players. One thing I noticed doing that kind of research is that there's instances where players, you know, they play too much, they go beyond what's really what they want to do or what's good for them. And so the starting point for this study was, you know, companies collect a lot of data about gameplay and on digital devices, right? They can track basically all the behavior of players. And my question was basically, is there anything in this data that we can use to identify when players enter sort of a moment of having a bit too much, when they may start showing signs of addiction? And yeah, that's really the starting point. And then the idea is to maybe use that data to intervene and trigger an informational dialogue and ask, like, hey, have you maybe had enough for now? Do you want to take a break? That's kind of the idea. The idea is really to produce healthy and sustainable gaming experiences for everybody.
So the idea on behalf of the gaming companies, though, is to keep people in as long as they can, right?
Yeah, that might often be what we think they want to do, but I actually think this can also be a win for the gaming companies. So think about it a little bit like keeping a process or relationship from overheating in the moment to kind of strengthen it in the long run, right? So that's the interesting next question here also that isn't addressed in this paper. This paper is really just saying, hey, there's this data that might be really useful to trigger an intervention. But then imagine the company says something like, hey, have you maybe had enough for today? Do you want to come back tomorrow? That can actually be better for the long-term relationship to the customer and ultimately also good for long-term engagement and profit for the company, I think.
Because, Drew, explain what you just explained to me, that even though you're doing poorly and you're losing, there's this compulsion to keep playing, right?
Yeah, I do feel that. And I think everybody understands kind of even when you're losing that hyper competitiveness where you're like, okay, I may have lost, but just one more game, it'll be good. One more game, and then one more game becomes 12 more games, and you still haven't won, and you're just fuming at that point.
Julian, can you relate?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's also something that I can see in the data. And often that's fine, right? Like, when you have a free day, Saturday, and you just play 10 hours of a game, that's totally fine. But there's instances where people kind of do it in a way that interferes with their work functioning or their social life. And in some instances, and so the data I used in the study is actually from a game with loot boxes. Loot boxes, just to briefly explain that, are these virtual boxes that players can open and to obtain virtual goods that they can use in the game. They're essentially lotteries, so they have some similarity to gambling mechanics. And so there it's also that some people just spend more money than they can afford. And the idea is to say, like, can we do something to keep people from overdoing it, from overheating in the moment, such that they actually keep a good and strong connection to the game, but, you know, we don't have them go off the rails, kind of.
Yeah, because parents and grandparents are concerned. People that didn't grow up with gaming or never participated, and they see a kid who's gaming for 10 hours on a Saturday or not going to bed on time or not doing their schoolwork, it becomes a great concern. And of course, it's something out of their wheelhouse that they don't understand.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so the point of the study is also a little bit to be like, hey, this is happening in this game that I got the data for. But maybe this is also an interesting approach to think about this in terms of digital media more generally, right? Like, are there instances, and also social media, are there instances where adolescents or also adults kind of overdo it, spend too much time scrolling their feed, and keep going into, like, a rabbit hole? And the idea is to kind of ask that question, like, can we use the data that is already available, that is already being collected by platforms and companies to help these people have a good experience, a good sustainable experience?
Drew has a question for you, Professor.
In that same vein, because you mentioned loot boxes, we're in a day and age with, you know, paid DLC, loot boxes, battle passes, gacha games that have become really popular here in the States. I've met people who are around my age, or I'll ask them, why don't you quit the game? In this case, it was Fortnite. And they said, I've spent too much money on this game to quit now. And they absolutely despise playing it. Is that something that's also been factored in?
Like if we think about using this data to actually do an intervention, we could keep these players from feeling that way about the game. That's kind of exactly the point, right? Because like in a bad instance, like if players overdo it in that way, they might also feel trapped. They might develop a bad sentiment towards the brand. And so the idea is to say like, hey, if we just keep that a little more balanced, maybe that's actually better for everybody's enjoyment and ultimately also actually for a company long-run profit.
So I've got a question over here as the non-gamer. Do you associate your credit card? Is this real money that you're spending? Is this more of a lottery like you described?
It's real money. So there's different flavors of this, right? There's like full online casinos where you play with real money and you win real money. Then there's social casino games where you buy tokens with real money, but you only gamble for the tokens and you win virtual tokens. And then there's the idea of loot boxes that it's actually not about a monetary win. It's about obtaining certain goods like a weapon or a car or a decoration for your island or for your avatar that are then probabilistically assigned from that loot box. So it's a lottery basically for virtual goods.
And has this led to compulsive gambling? Not just compulsive gaming, but compulsive gambling?
Well, that's a very good question and actually a nuanced question. So this study is the result, like, I'm a marketing professor, right? So clinical psychology and all that is not usually my home turf. So I spent some time at a medical school that has a pretty big research group on what they call non-substance-based addictions. So that is stuff like gambling, gaming, internet, social media, et cetera. Online shopping also. And so I spent some time with them to understand this. And the mechanics are similar, even though there's nuances then in the details. But the pattern that I pinpoint here, which I call net promoter score inversion, if you like, we can also go into detail on that, but I don't want to force it on you. But that pattern can basically be used across these different types of behavioral addictions to help identify people when they start maybe having first signs of overdoing it.
That's great, because it's not just kids gaming anymore. It's also adults who are literally gambling or video gaming online. And boy, I've seen people that can't put their phone down. They just can't walk away from it. Is there anywhere where people can read the results of this research project?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, feel free to find me online. I'm on the Northwestern website. You can reach out to me by email. That's julian.runge, R-U-N-G-E, at northwestern.edu. And then the article is available in the journal that's called Nature Scientific Reports, and it's open access, so you don't need to go over a paywall or anything. It's the PDF is right there. And Northwestern also published a little article about it that explains it in, you know, a little more layman speak. That's on the website. It's titled Customer Ratings Could Help Identify Gamers Who Have Lost Control. So that's on the Northwestern News website.
Thank you so much for joining us, Julian.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.